and report. Please make your contribution at 818-985-5735 or pledge online at kpfk.org.
You're listening to KPFK, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and live around the world at kpfk.org.
Good afternoon and welcome to Middle East in Focus. I'm Esty Chandler. Plus 972 magazine and Local Call reported this week that they had obtained a recording on which Israeli Colonel Racheli Dembinski confirmed publicly for the first time that the Israeli army is using cloud storage and artificial intelligence services provided by civilian tech giants in its ongoing onslaught on the Gaza Strip. Slides from Dembinski's recorded lecture include logos of Amazon Web Services, Google Cloud, and Microsoft Azure. Of course, American big tech has long been inextricably connected to Israel's tech industry, where its experimental technology is battle-tested on Palestinian people through Israel's brutal military and surveillance campaigns, then sold to other countries in advertising campaigns boasting about their products being field-tested. In fact, as DropSite News reported this week, Microsoft companies include a number of organizations based in illegal Israeli West Bank settlements, including at least one that fundraises to support the Israeli military on its employee charitable giving platform. At the same time, according to Microsoft employees, the company delisted the United Nations agency providing relief in Gaza, UNRWA, from its list of charities on the expansive platform, which Microsoft will automatically match contributions to. This reporting and more from just this week highlights and clarifies the pivotal role big technology companies are playing in the Israeli government's ongoing genocide of Palestinians, during which, for the last 10 months, Israeli occupation forces have been deploying never-before-seen weaponry on the besieged Gaza Strip. In May, No Tech for Azure published a report titled A Marriage Made in Hell, An Introduction into Microsoft's Complicity in Apartheid and Genocide. We are very fortunate to be joined today by Hossam Nasser, a Microsoft software engineer and one of the leaders of the No Azure for Apartheid campaign. Hossam Nasser is a Seattle-based software engineer at Microsoft and a community organizer who has organized with No Tech for Apartheid. He is currently one of the lead organizers of the No Azure for Apartheid campaign. Prior to joining Microsoft, Hossam was the co-president of the Harvard College Palestine Solidarity Committee and one of the founders of the Harvard Out of Occupied Palestine campaign. In addition to No Azure for Apartheid, he also organizes with Harvard Alumni for Palestine. I am very happy and grateful to welcome Hossam Nasser to Middle East in Focus.
Pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much. Hossam, as described in a 2023 Amnesty International report that your report references, the Israeli government has long relied on a brutal surveillance regime throughout the West Bank, including digital surveillance tools to monitor and limit Palestinian movement, to maintain repression of dissent, and to protect expanding illegal Jewish-only settlements that are established through the violent dispossession of Palestinian land and resources. In recent years, we've learned of the increasingly advanced technologies that your and your colleagues work for big tech companies, including the aforementioned Amazon Web Services, Google Cloud, and Microsoft, have created, and which we are now understanding as integral to the current genocidal assault on Gaza that the whole world is witnessing. So perhaps you could begin by refreshing our memories about Project Nimbus and how it is serving the current obliteration of Gaza by creating an infrastructure of advanced computer centers under Israeli jurisdiction.
Absolutely. So I think it's the upshot of the Project Nimbus contract has really been to cement the tech industry's role, and Big Tech in particular, as part and parcel of that military-industrial complex in the U.S. So for those who are not aware, Project Nimbus was a $1.2 billion contract that was signed in 2021 between Google, Amazon, and the Israeli government. It had a tender process where Microsoft and Oracle also bid for the contract. Microsoft ended up losing the contract, and the contract went to Google and Amazon. However, Microsoft still continues to sell a lot of cloud services to the Israeli government and in the Israeli military, as we've seen recently, including most notably storage and AI services. Now, the Project Nimbus contract was very secretive. Neither Google, Amazon, nor the Israeli government wanted to release any details about it. In fact, they denied its existence for a long time. And so much of what we know about Nimbus, even today, comes from tech workers in Google and Amazon who have spoken up about the contract, who have found introductory training slides that were shared by Google to the Israeli military, that have come from leaks from the Israeli side. But for a very long time, there was very little to know about the nature of the contract. Google denied for a very long time that it was even being used for military purposes, even though there were multiple evidence pointing to the fact that they are being used for military purposes, not least of which is the fact that a big reason why they even won the contract in the first place is because Oracle was deemed to not have sufficient capabilities for their military purposes. So part of what we know about the contract is that it provides Google and Amazon cloud and AI technology to the Israeli government. They include technologies that could be used for military purposes, which include AI, include facial recognition and sentiment analysis, which, for folks who don't know, sentiment analysis is basically reading a text and trying to determine whether this person is happy or sad or angry, and it is almost entirely based on pseudoscience and very unreliable. And it also includes providing what's called like a sovereign cloud within Israel. So that means that Google and Amazon are setting up physical servers within Israel's territory and giving complete control to the Israeli government on what they do with these data centers, what kind of data they store, and how they operate on it, which also goes against Google and Amazon's claim that they continue to uphold their standards on fair use of AI and whatnot in this tender, because they actually can't. And in fact, one of the details we know about the contract is they are prevented from doing that. They are prevented from dictating what the Israeli government gets to do with it. And last fun fact about the contract is that there is actually a clause in the contract that also prohibits Google and Amazon from backing out of the contract and canceling the contract explicitly based on public pressure campaigns. So while the contract was being negotiated and signed, they anticipated the kind of activism and advocacy and organizing that we're doing at No Tech for Apartheid. But I think that the past few months and the past 10 months of genocide in particular in Gaza have proven not only beyond the shadow of the doubt that Google, Amazon, and Microsoft Cloud are being used for military purposes, but rather that they are really integral to the genocide in Gaza. There's been multiple reports of AI systems, including systems known as The Gospel, Lavender, Where's Daddy, Hunter, and many others, whose job is to facilitate, accelerate, and further the genocide in Gaza. And it's part of why we are now 10 months into genocide with over 186,000 people killed, in some estimates.
Well, that report by No Tech for Azure, which you just mentioned, and I mentioned in the opening, A Marriage Made in Hell, An Introduction to Microsoft's Complicity in Apartheid and Genocide, includes much of the reporting that we've seen come out in the last week or so from Plus 972 Magazine, The Guardian, Local Call, and other news outlets, exposing, as you say, how Israel is using artificial intelligence to scale up its ability to inflict broad devastation across Gaza, including with some of the systems that you've mentioned, like Lavender and Where's Daddy. Can you tell us more about how Israel uses these particular AI systems that are producing these shocking death rates that we're seeing, even though we know the numbers being reported are grossly underestimates of the true death toll? And also, if you can talk about the inspiration for the name of the report.
Totally. Yeah. Thank you for asking that question. And let me just start by the last part of your question, because I think it's really important to acknowledge that, you know, we are now in day 310 of the ongoing onslaught, the ongoing genocide in Gaza. Right now, like I said, by some estimates, which might still be an underestimate, there's been over 186,000 people killed, when you take into account the people who are trapped under rubble, people who have died from indirect causes like disease and famine, and we're now seeing the spread of polio, of all things, in Gaza. And it's important to acknowledge that just yesterday, Israel bombed yet another school while people were praying Fajr and killed, again, by conservative estimates, over 100 people. And it's important for us to realize this is what we're talking about when we talk about these systems. It's important to humanize the Palestinians who are the victims of this, because a function of these AI systems is that they abstract away the humanity of the subjects of these systems, and they facilitate the dehumanization of Palestinians, and therefore facilitate, just through this dehumanization and this abstraction layer, the mass murder that we've seen. So I just wanted to start there. And to your point about the marriage made in hell, it's a funny reference to a quote said by Benjamin Netanyahu, actually, about Microsoft, saying that the relationship between Israel and Microsoft is a marriage made in heaven and realized here on earth. That's a direct quote from Netanyahu. And it goes to highlight just how close Microsoft and Israel's relationship are. Another quote that's interesting is Steve Ballmer, one of the former CEOs of Microsoft, once said that Microsoft is as much an Israeli company as it is an American company. And we've seen that become really true based on our internet experience over the past 10 months. But going back to the meat of your question, it's really important to understand just how crucial the tech industry has become in the military-industrial complex. It's become almost the backbone of the current onslaught, the current genocide in Gaza. Some of these systems that are mentioned include the gospel, for example. The gospel, it was described by some Israeli officials as a mass assassination factory. Its job is to generate targets for strikes by the Israeli military. They include four types of targets. According to the Israeli military classification, they include four types of targets, what are called tactical targets, which they claim are valid military infrastructure. They include, second type is underground targets, what they claim are tunnels being used by Hamas. They include the two other types are power targets, which, again, by the definition of the Israeli military itself, are entirely civilian in nature. And their only job, according to Israeli officials, is to, quote, exert civilian pressure on the Hamas government. So they are deliberately inflicting harm on civilians and civilian infrastructure and intentionally killing innocent people knowing they are innocent, just to, according to them, put pressure on Hamas. And then the last type is family homes of who they claim are Hamas operatives, Hamas fighters. And one of the interesting things about this reporting is they say that everything is intentional. Everything they do is intentional. Every target comes with a report of how many civilians are expected to die in this strike. And they do sometimes very little checks to even verify that the target selected is a valid, quote-unquote, military target. Sometimes they only take 20 seconds to verify that the target is male, and then that's it. So one other system in this entourage is Lavender, which is also responsible for identifying targets, but it is more concerned with individual people than buildings. So they basically take a bunch of data collected by the Israeli military and their Israeli surveillance machine about Palestinians in Gaza, and they feed it into this Lavender system, and it attempts to classify people as quote-unquote terrorists. And this is very problematic for two reasons. One is that we know that Israeli's definition of a terrorist is extremely broad and sweeping. But secondly, because even if you take the Israeli definition at face value, any AI system by definition will have errors inherent in the system, right? And the Lavender's error rate by Israeli estimates, so according to the Israeli own definition, is around 10%. And they are perfectly fine with having a 10% error rate in killing just random innocent people just because they are male, for example. There has been recent reporting that the Lavender system has been disfavored of other systems now, potentially a new system that's being called Hunter, which basically does the same thing. But it's all, at the end of the day, the same thing. Who's Daddy that you mentioned? This is a system that, again, takes a lot of surveillance data and tries to track individual people across Gaza and find when they have gone home so that they can be killed. And there's been lots of reporting on how Israel actually prefers to kill people at home because it's easier from an intelligence perspective, according to them. So these are just examples of some of these systems and the impact that they've had in Gaza. But the upshot here really is all of these need to be taken within the wider context and the wider totality of circumstances, which is the vast and sweeping killing machine that has accelerated one of the most brutal campaigns in recent memory, really, and has caused some of the awful scenes that we've seen. And that when you consider that Israeli officials have explicitly stated multiple times that they are favoring damage over accuracy, that they want to flatten Gaza, that they want to exterminate the population of Gaza, that they consider every Palestinian a terrorist, then it really is no surprising how devastating the situation has become. And the sad reality is every big tech company, really, like Amazon, Google, and Microsoft, know this. This is not a secret. And they are actively complicit in advancing the genocide. Multiple Israeli officials have reported that if it wasn't for Israel, for these quote-unquote civilian clouds, the war effort would be slowed down. The head of Unit 8200 described it as the first digital war. We would describe it as the first digital genocide.
You're listening to Middle East in Focus on listener-supported KPFK. I'm Esti Chandler, very happy to be joined today by Microsoft software engineer Hossam Nasser, one of the organizers of the No Azure for Apartheid campaign. KPFK is a listener-supported public radio station, part of the Pacifica Network, which is why you don't hear commercials during our shows. Pacifica is now celebrating our 75th anniversary, a considerable milestone for an independent media network whose idea was born out of a detention camp where conscientious objectors were forcibly detained during World War II. The Pacifica Network and KPFK were created by people who were alarmed by the power that large corporations and governments had in shaping the news stories that we are told, which in turn shapes the public narrative. Sound familiar? As the technology we are discussing with our guest today exemplifies, along with social media controlled by the same tech entities, Public radio is more important than ever. Media complicity in the wave of Zionist McCarthyism sweeping our nation is falsely shaping public understanding of world events, including Israel's continuing genocidal assault on Gaza. KPFK and Pacifica took the bold move not to rely on corporations or our government for funding through advertising and underwriting, and instead, for all of these years, we have relied on the community that we serve, both by having programmers donate their time and labor to this endeavor and by reaching out to the community we serve, to all of you, to donate whatever you can to help keep the shows we all enjoy and depend on for honest reporting on the air. So I'm asking you now to help us keep going, to help us continue to raise the voices of people like our guest today, Hossam Nasser, by calling 818-985-5735 to make whatever level pledge you can. That's 818-985-5735, or you can make a donation today by logging on to kpfk.org to help keep our show and the other KPF shows you rely on the air. Hossam, can you also tell us about the controversial data mining company Palantir, founded in 2003 by right-wing venture capitalist Peter Thiel, and Microsoft's partnership with Palantir?
Totally. So Palantir really is the quintessential tech military industrial complex company. It's less of a data mining, which usually refers to procuring and collecting data, and more of providing tools for analyzing, understanding, and representing data. So Palantir really is in the business of taking large sums of data and presenting it in a way that is digestible and allows people to make really big decisions based on data from multiple sources. And they have multiple products and services, but really the one that, in my opinion, is the most incriminating is this product called Gotham, which is entirely unapologetic about its ties to the military industrial complex, about its uses for military purposes, its ties to the U.S. Army, its ties to ICE in some cases. Literally, if you go to the product page for Gotham on Palantir's website, the first thing you see is your software is the weapons system. You see things like decision dominance from space to mud. You see orchestrate combat power, AI-driven combat superiority, including scenes from, you know, U.S. Army operations in Iraq and Afghanistan and other places. So it really is unapologetic about its ties to the army and its crucial role in the military-industrial complex. Gotham is also, so Palantir recently announced a partnership with Microsoft to what they describe provide enhanced analytics and AI services to classified networks for critical national security operations. And in human speak, what this means is that Microsoft will offer OpenAI services, which means things like speech to text, text to speech, facial recognition, different AI technologies through Palantir's offerings, which we know is deeply complicit with the military industrial complex.
Thank you for that. I can't believe the time has flown. I also want to ask you, tech workers are well aware of the fact that your work, especially with the advancement of AI and cloud technologies, has the potential to cause immense harm. But I wonder if you can briefly talk about the harm that these big tech companies have caused to their workers for speaking out and organizing demonstrations and campaigns like No Azure for Apartheid and No Tech for Apartheid.
Totally. Most recently, we had 50 Google workers who were outright fired from Google for organizing a protest through No Tech for Apartheid in Sunnyvale, California, and New York offices. Some of them were not even involved in the protest, and they were just fired. At Microsoft, we faced a very hostile and oppressive environment since October 7. leaders on October 7 came out and said, we stand with Israel. And that has basically set the tone since. Folks like me who try to speak up about Palestine, who try to ask whether our relationship with the Israeli military is consistent with Microsoft's commitments to promoting fundamental human rights, are shut down, are investigated by HR, in some cases are found guilty of violations of harassment and discrimination. Meanwhile, Zionists on company platforms who have said a lot of really vile things, including calling people hateful and anti-Semitic and ignorant, and at some points I was called a member of Hamas, I was called supporting terrorism, I was called no one who simply hates Jews, all of these things, they're gone unpunished. Not a single one has been found to be in violation of the same policy I was found to be in violation of, for saying that Palestinians deserve freedom from the river to the sea. So it's really unsurprising, considering how invested Microsoft is in maintaining Israel's apartheid regime and the furtherance of the genocide in Gaza.
Hossam, we can't thank you enough for taking time to be with us and educate us. We hope that we will be able to have you back on the show again soon.
Thank you for having me.
Yesterday, an Israeli airstrike on a Gaza City school compound where approximately 350 families had been sheltering killed about 100 people, including at least 11 children and 6 women. Gaza's Civil Emergency Service reported the attack occurred while the sheltering occupants were performing their dawn prayers. Both the upper floor housing families and the lower floor used as a mosque were hit. Israeli officials claim militants were among the dead, but once again, without providing any evidence. Time will tell if and what role technology provided by big tech companies like Amazon Web Services, Google Cloud, and Microsoft Azure played in yet another attack on sheltering Palestinian families. And as our guest today has educated us on how they do that, each week, Negra Ibrahim and I strive to bring you these important voices. Voices of writers, artists, activists, scholars, and engineers. Most often voices you're not likely to hear on mainstream media outlets. As we have heard here today from our guest, Microsoft software engineer Hossam Nasser, our public and private companies and institutions are materially supporting this genocide. And what we know is that the public that consumes their products and services has the right to know the truth about their complicity. So once again, I'm making an appeal and asking you, our listeners, to please help us to continue to bring you those truths by making a pledge now by calling 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-5735, or by logging on to kpfk.org. KPFK and Pacifica Network continue to live on the edge, but you have the power to keep us from going over that edge and off the air, which has happened in the history of this network due to lack of funding. But right now, the stakes are just too high. We cannot allow that to happen again. So once again, I'm asking you to please call 818-985-5735 or log on to kpfk.org and make a donation of whatever size you can. We want to continue to be able to bring you the voices of people like Hossam Nasser, but we need all of you to help us make that so. Once again, I want to thank our guest, Microsoft software engineer Hossam Nasser from the No Azure for Apartheid campaign. I also want to thank Yot and Bathul Sayed for their production support today. Our theme song is The Overture by Summer Night's Dream by Marcel Khalife. For KPFK Los Angeles, I'm Esty Chandler thanking you for taking this time to put the Middle East in focus.
Support comes from the Canyon Club in Agoura Hills, presenting Don Was and the Pan Detroit Ensemble, Sunday, September 22nd, 2024. The band includes longtime collaborators, Blue Note Records artist Dave McMurray on sax and Eminem's Oscar-winning collaborator, keyboardist Luis Resto, plus a host of stellar jazz musicians from the